Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Maureen Husky, whose play, The Woman Who Went to Space as a Man, is currently playing at Son of Semele in Silver Lake. Actually, it's opening on the 27th. Maureen holds a BA in theater and communications from Western State Colorado University, a diploma in dramatic playwriting with merit from the University of Kent at Canterbury, England, as a Rotary Scholar, and an MFA in theater direction from the California Institute of the Arts. She's taught and guest directed at Cal Arts, College of the Canyons, and Long Beach State University, and writes, adapts, and directs for theater and opera. Her work has been presented in New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Vienna, Austria, and Vancouver, and she's received the Princess Grace Honoraria Award, a Bessie Award, and her shows have actually received nominations from the NAACP and Ovation Awards, among other accolades. She's also received numerous grant awards and residencies for her work, including the Creative Capital Award and the Voice and Vision and Vision Grant for Women Artists. So welcome to you, Maureen.
Thank you.
All right. So the Woman Who Went to Space as a Man tells the story of Alice Sheldon. We should just get that out of the way. And I wondered especially about the genesis of the music in the play. It is a play, but it also has music. Would you call it a musical?
It's not a traditional musical in that it's more of a play with song.
Okay.
Not all of the music is intended to push the narrative along, which is more of a traditional musical. Some of the songs do, some of them are more reflective pieces of the main character.
Okay, so I wondered what about that story, because Alice's story is a true story. And so what about that in your sparked that in your imagination, the inclusion of music? And how did you handle the writing of the songs alongside the rest of the play?
Yes. Well, when how I came to Alice Sheldon was I was originally planning on working on an opera with another composer, and we came across a Tiptree short story, and this was before I knew that James Tiptree Jr. was actually Alice Sheldon. And we read the short story, A Girl Who's Plugged In, and fell in love with it and wanted to turn it into an opera, because this particular short story, anything when you're excited to create something with music can, in my mind, can be seen through the lens of music. It just takes a little bit of imagination. And we'd started on that, but we couldn't get the rights to it. But in that process, I had started researching Alice Sheldon's life and read her biography and fell in love with that, along with some of the other stories. And I just gave myself the challenge to put her story to music. Part of it is that it is so, it's an incredible life story that it didn't seem to be such a stretch for me. And her writing is so poetic and magical that I felt that it would it kind of begged for music. And I could just see it and feel it in my mind that it would work as a musical, as an experimental play with music. And so I set myself the challenge to do that. And I'd say that the writing the music was the lyrics for the music was the easy part. The structure of the play was the hard part. Mm-hmm. But the way I went about writing music was I took some of her writings, and a lot of them were journal writings or letter writings, and I took some of the things that she said that were in the bio and just adapted them to songs.
I see. So you mentioned the tough part being the structure of the play. So how did you land on that?
Well, I didn't want to write a complete linear story of her life, but yet it required a certain amount of linearity to tell her life story and how she led up to wanting to become a science fiction writer and how she gave birth to her male pseudonym, or really her male alter ego, James Tiptree. So I did kind of plot out what parts of her life story that I felt were significant.
Mm-hmm.
Like I knew her growing up our spending a lot of time in Africa had a big impact on her life and her writing, because her parents were colonial explorers, so she spent time in the Congo, like, you know, in early 1900s, and it's a very fragile time in that area, and it had a great impact on her. So I knew I wanted to include that. I knew I wanted to include time that she spent in the army and a few other plot points. And then what I did do is I got the rights to two other of her short stories, and I interwove writings and a partial narrative of this one of these short stories into the story of her life that I felt sort of charted a journey, more of a metaphorical journey that she was on, which was to really leave this earth for another planet, which made sense to me since she did commit suicide at the end of her life.
Right. I want to talk about the two, but first I wanted to ask you, you play with the idea of voice a lot in these pieces. So since Tiptree, as you mentioned, Alice's male self wrote and published, so that voice is out in the world, we're kind of forced to question, as I was reading, and eventually people will see the play, what really is a female voice or a male voice? So I wondered what attracted you to that aspect of the story.
Well, that's been a question for me for decades, you know, since I first started to come out as an artist and really trying to find my voice as an artist and feeling, you know, really trying to understand what the female gaze is of the world and what I really think and feel. And I've always struggled with that. And I can remember when I was in my 20s hearing an interview by Kate Bush, who to me felt like the quintessential female voice in music, especially during her heightened time. And she talked about how she struggled to find her voice as a singer. That she, you know, the music industry was so dominated by men. And it really stuck with me of, like, how many women, even women who are out there expressing their voice, literally still found a hard time finding their voice. And Alice Sheldon writes about that at one point. And it's ironic because she ended up taking the voice of a male, but she talks about how the female voice is anarchic, and not Antarctic, it's full of anarchy. And
right.
That it is hard for men to understand it in terms of how women write, in terms of, you know, what is plot, what is, you know, what are these things that we take for granted, but how does a woman handle these things, and what is really action, you know, just basic elemental things. And she talked about that it is something that is not quite understood yet. And for her, I think she always wanted to, and this is brought up in the play, that she always wanted to write as herself, as truly as herself. But she was also against this sort of binary identification, you know, between, you know, male and female. She just wanted to write as herself, maybe not necessarily as a woman or as a man. But for her, identifying as a man let her really say exactly what she wanted to say. So it gave freedom to her voice just by identifying as a man. So it's a really complicated, it's a very complicated investigation about, you know, what is the voice. But when I first read The Girl That Was Plugged In, I didn't know. I had the beauty of not knowing that it was written by a woman. And, but I remember being shocked by it and, being really like, there's something different about this. And when I found out that it was a woman, I was floored. It just really tripped me up. And that's exactly what happened when the Sci-Fi Literary Society found out that, Tiptree was a woman. They were really, you know, some people claimed that they weren't shocked, that they knew that maybe she was a woman, or, you know, there was some question about that. But in general, there was a real shock because she wrote so masculine. But for her, it was just herself.
That's fascinating. So the language of your play is also very heightened, very dramatic. So how do you feel this helps to capture Alice's voice now in this era that we're living through?
I'm not really sure, actually. I haven't really thought about that question. It was just the way that I envisioned it and the way it sounded to me, the way it came out for me. So I hadn't really thought about how it is relevant for today. I think the story itself is relevant, because we have so many questions about gender, and I think we're still asking a lot of the same questions that she questioned about humanity and about, you know, how we really exist in this society as a full human being, which she really struggled. She always talked about being in the wrong skin at the wrong time. and I felt that it's more of my style, I would say, writing that heightened role. And I was also writing for something that I could direct. And I need, you know, to be malleable, that I could direct it, in a way that was, you know, more fantastical.
That's really interesting. So I do want to talk to you about directing. And so what, do you always direct your pieces or no?
This is the first full length, especially play with music that I've ever directed. I did a couple pieces in New York. I did a piece about three women that worked as spies during World War II, and it was also based on historical facts, three women that actually, you know, worked as spies, and I brought their three lives together, and so I wrote and directed that, and it was part of a women's festival at Brooklyn Arts Exchange years ago. And then I did a piece, I adapted a Tennessee Williams short story, and investigated one of the characters and sort of went in and told the story from her perspective. And the Yellow Bird, the character of Alma. But other than that, I've mostly directed pieces. Like I took a Jean Genet play that has never been produced here in the United States, to my knowledge, called Splendid. And I adapted it, and I took some more of an adapter. Really, I took, so with the Genet piece, I took a lot of his, this was for when I guest directed at CalArts, I took a lot of his, like I read all of his prose and a lot of his interviews and kind of interspersed his, a story of his life into this play, into his desires and longings and his struggles in his life into this play. And I directed that. But other than that, whenever I do direct anything, I end up adapting it. Even, you know, when I've directed Ibsen or something, I will do some cuts and edits, and, you know, there's a certain amount of, or a great amount often of reinterpretation of the original text. So that's really where my strength is. It's taking existing ideas or existing texts and then, historical figures and turning them into some story that then I believe has value and pertinence to today's society, and then, you know, direct that.
That sounds fascinating. So Sheldon committed suicide in 1987, as you were saying earlier, which you deal with in the play. So was this a compelling aspect of the play? Was it something that you either were attracted to? Was it just an unfortunate reality that you wanted to cover? How did that play into Alice's story for you?
I think it was a compelling factor, but it was one that turned out to be very difficult for me to grapple with. Mm. I realized that I had to uncover my own feelings and sensitivities about suicide and my fear of representing that. I mean, the one thing that I didn't represent is that she also killed her husband, but it was a suicide pact.
Yeah.
But that I chose not to bring into the play because that would have just brought this whole other layer, and it would have, just for various reasons, I didn't. He does die in the play, and that's represented in a small but heightened way. And, if anybody knows the story, they'll be able to read into it, knows anything about Sheldon's life, they'll be able to read into it. But I had to grapple with that. But at the same time, I believe that people that commit suicide and stories of especially artists that commit suicide, like they're still, it's not really something that we discuss in an open level in culture. It's still, when somebody commits suicide, there'll be like a flurry of articles or something that comes out and then it's dropped, but really mental health and, there's the myths about, the artist being, depressed or suicidal. And I wanted to get away from that as well. And I didn't, I wanted to celebrate a life that did end in suicide and not it be just about the suicide.
I see.
But and with Alice's story, it was quite fascinating because she really did, on some level, whether it was just letting her imagination play with her, but she did believe that there was another place and time that she could escape to. And so that was what I wanted to play with, and that's the short story that I brought in, is that there's this calling that keeps happening, saying to come, and it's to finally free herself of this earth.
Yeah. That's a really interesting idea. Wow. We'll probably talk for another half an hour about that. Just that part. But finally, I always like to ask people what they're working on next and what we might be able to look forward to. So anything you can talk about right now?
Right now, I don't have anything immediately on the burner. I have been playing around. There's one of the short stories that I have the rights to, sticking with Sheldon, called Slow Music, which I started writing on, which is it's pretty dark. It's apocalyptic. It's about there's only a man and a woman left on Earth, and the man is getting ready to leave on this boat, and it's like this, a death boat. It's like going off to die because, Earth has basically become a wasteland. And the woman is trying to encourage him to stay behind and to continue on. And there's something very beautiful about this, and just really life and death and male and female. And so I've been playing around with that in a multimedia way, but I'm at the very beginning stages of it.
Okay.
Of what, because they journey around, and there's also just a real poetic look. I just love the way that Earth is described without culture in it, without humanity, and yet the remnants of humanity and culture left behind, and they trip upon them, and so that's where my imagination has been going. If I stick with this other Sheldon project.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and break a leg.
Thank you so much.
The Woman Who Went to Space as a Man plays at Son of Cinemaly from October 27th through November 18th. Maureen also directed the play and wrote the lyrics to the music, and it also features music by Yuval Ron. He wrote the music part. And the cast includes Annalise Euler, James Ferrero, Emma Zakes, Betsy Moore, Isabella Ramaciati, Paula Ribello, Megan Rippey, Ashley Steed, Alex Wells, Kamar Elliott, Nathan Nonoff, and Robert Paterno. For more information about tickets, please go to www.sonofsimile.org. And for more information about LAFBI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafbi.com.